Good evening. Oh, I'm actually tonight. I'm gonna do an assembly. Is that right? I do apologise, but also I don't apologise because I think it's a good one. So, yeah. So you just have to pretend to be school children. Tonight, but I'm going to give you a bit more than just assembly, so don't worry. It's Advent, scary, nearly Christmas. Don't know how you're doing on that front, whether you're organised or not. I'm definitely on the unorganised side. I'm not so unorganised that I'll leave Christmas shopping till Christmas Eve, but I'm pretty bad. But what I'm gonna read to you from Luke 2 to get us in the Advent Christmas mood, and it's just the account of the shepherds. So I'm going to read from verse 8, Luke 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Lord, I just pray that as we look at your word tonight, God, that you'd speak to us, God, that we would feel refreshed, and God, that we would know you're near. Amen. So yeah, the Christmas story. We have been watching The Crown on Netflix. Anyone else watch The Crown? No. You should watch it, it's pretty good. It's about the Queen, and I love the Queen. I don't know about if you love the Queen. But the Crown is about the very first years in her reign. In fact, it starts with her as princess and her father is still king. And I'm sure a lot of it is fictional, we're mixed with fact. But it's really fascinating because, you know, the king dies suddenly, and all of a sudden, Princess Elizabeth becomes Queen Elizabeth, and it's this responsibility, huge responsibility, is kind of thrust upon her. And in the episode that happens, there's quite a lot of tension going on behind the scenes, because of the expectations that are upon the monarch. And for example, Philip is wanting to keep his family name, Mountbatten. But Winston Churchill gets wind of this, and Queen Mary, the Queen's grandmother, hears about this. And it's like, that cannot happen. And so they have to kind of meet that expectation that they're going to take the name Windsor. And so there's a bit of tension there. And then they've just done up Clarence House at the time. Queen Elizabeth and Philip were living in Clarence House. And they wanted to stay in that house because it's where their children had grown up, and they didn't want to move to Buckingham Palace. But again, the expectation was that the Queen, the monarch, must live in Buckingham Palace. And so again, they had to concede and live up to that reputation that is the crown, the monarch, which is fascinating. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the Christmas story and how the expectation of who God is isn't met in the Christmas story. Jesus, the King, the Saviour, I guess, at the time, and I'm sure in our own minds, we have an expectation of who God is and what he is like. And it's interesting in that Christmas story how those expectations of power and might are almost put on their heads. And it makes me think that as we come up to Christmas, that maybe one of the messages for us is that God isn't the God that we think he is. And that what God loves to do is sometimes to challenge our concepts of him, the things that maybe we project onto God. And he likes to reveal who he truly is. I wonder if sometimes our idea of God is more like Santa Claus, making a list, checking it twice, got to find out who's naughty and nice. But the God that Jesus reveals is totally different. A God who is vulnerable. A God who became a baby. A God who was found in the edges of society with shepherds in a place that no one would really want their baby to be born. So, let's come to the assembly. I asked the children, I said, there are two types of presents that I get on Christmas morning. The first type are the very exciting type, the ones that you have been longing for, you know, the iPhone, the iPad, the extraordinary, that toy that you've been longing for, whatever. You have the exciting presents. And then the other type is the practical present. The socks, the pen, the tie, the calculator, the school bag, whatever, you know. And I was thinking, you know, the person who buys me the most practical presence is my mum. And so that got me thinking, what if Mary brought Jesus presents? I'm sure she would buy him practical presents. And so I thought, I've got a few ideas. If Mary was here today, what kind of presents she would have brought Jesus. You're right with this. The first The first thing I thought that Mary might buy Jesus were some sandals, some sturdy footwear, because Jesus did a lot of walking. The Bible says he went about doing good. He walked and he healed the sick in one place, and then another place he went about sharing the kingdom of God. So, shoes. Second thing I said is that I reckon Jesus, Mary would have brought an introduction to the Old Testament. Because Jesus, like you and I, had to learn. And I thought it was fascinating, particularly thinking about kids, that there we had God probably struggling with learning a difficult word or trying to understand a concept in the Torah. That there was learning that had to go on. So I reckon Mary would have brought an introduction. Probably to the Torah, not the entire. Maybe the entire, I don't know. I'm not that clever. Let's have a look. What else have we got in this bag? It's very exciting. Here we go. Tools. Yes. Because Jesus was a carpenter. He would have needed some tools to make chairs. Jesus knew what it was like to get up in the morning, work a day, come home tired. He knew what it was like to learn new skills. Mary would have brought him some tools. Now, this one is definitely, use it stretching the imagination even more so. I've got some glow sticks here. Now, I did tell the children that these probably weren't around 2,000 years ago. But my point was, these glow sticks, Jesus loved to party. And if you see Jesus, he was there eating with his friends. He was at the wedding at Cana, turning water into wine. Jesus loved to party. So, I reckon she'd have pie sticks. The final thing I said to children is, well, you know what? Jesus got sad. Jesus got sad. And so I reckon Mary would have brought some tissues, because there were days when he lost one of his best friend, Lazarus. There were days when his best friends betrayed him. There were days when he must have felt so rejected and so misunderstood. God isn't the God who we sometimes think he is. The Christmas story shows a God who made himself vulnerable. A God who knows what it's like to work. A God who knows what it's like to party. A God who knows what it's like to lose a best friend. A God who knows what it's like to be hurt and to choose to forgive. If you read the book of Revelation, you get this amazing moment where you're taken into the throne room, and it's full of just indescribable things. You've got angels, you've got kind of very odd-looking beasts with heads all over the place and eyes all over the place. a throne, a glass sea, a sea of glass. Just amazing, beautiful glory of God. And when you get to Revelation 5, there's this moment where an angel comes to John and says, it presents him with a scroll, and he says, who is worthy to open this scroll? And no one was found worthy. And so John begins to cry and weep because no one is worthy to open this scroll. But then the angel says, do not weep, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. And then the very next verse says this, and I looked and I saw a lamb slain. And I think that's so powerful. The angel says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. But when John looks, he sees a lamb slain. I think sometimes our expectation of God is the Lion. And he is the Lion. But in Jesus and in the Christmas story, we also see a side of God that we weren't expecting. The Lamb. The Lamb. The one who serves. The one who puts us before himself. What an amazing and beautiful revelation of who God is. And I just wonder again, as we go into this time of Advent, would we allow God to challenge maybe some of our ideas of who he is? I can imagine that Mary and the shepherds were challenged as they found this baby wrapped in a manger. Perhaps wasn't the God or the Saviour that they were expecting. But how powerful is a God who loves unconditionally, chooses to bleed for us, who knows exactly what it's like to have a hard day at work, to know the joy of partying, but also to know the pain of suffering. God can be found in the frailty and pain of humanity. And that's good news. I always bring this little verse out. It's a carol. Every Christmas, you've probably heard me say it before, but it always hits me so powerfully when we sing it. It's from Once in Royal David City. It just says this, for he is our childhood pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us he knew. And he cares when we are sad. And he shares when we are glad. That's the power of the Christmas story. Emmanuel, God with us. I wonder if we could stand together. We're just going to invite God to come by his Spirit. Lord, thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that if we're feeling frail or fragile, you're there in the midst of it. Thank you if we're struggling with work. You're there. Thank you that if we're suffering, you're there. Thank you that if we're partying, you're there. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come and give us eyes to see not only the lion, but also the lamb.